90.5 FM KSJS presents
Mecca 1111111111.
Muslims engaged
in creating consciousness
in America.
I envy the sand that met his feet. I'm jealous of honey he tasted sweet, of birds that hovered above his head, of spiders who spun their sacred web to save him from his enemies. I envy clouds formed from seas that gave him cover from the heat, of a sun whose light could not compete with his, whose face did shine so bright that all was clear in pitch black night. I envy sightless trees that gazed upon his form completely dazed, not knowing if the sun had rose or if the sky was one with those who knelt, who prayed and fasted too, simply because he told them to, with truth and kindness, charity from God who gave such clarity. His mercy comes in one who sent to mold our hearts more heaven bent. I envy all there at his side who watched the turning of the tide as truth prevailed and falsehood fled and hope restored life to the dead, and men and women found their place with aspirations for God's face. I envy the cup that gave him drink, his thoughts that helped us all to think, to be one thought that passed his mind, inspiring him to act so kind. For me, this world is not one jot if I could simply be a thought from him to God throughout the ages as revelation came in stages. I pity all who think it odd to hear him say there is one God, or he was sent by God to men to hone their spirits' acumen. It's pride that blinds us from the sight that helps all men to see his light. He taught us all to be God's slaves, and he will be the one who saves humanity from sinful pride. Muhammad has God on his side. So on this day, be blessed and sing, for he was born to grace our spring with lilies, flowers, life's rebirth in a dome of green like his on earth.
Mecca 1.
عليك يا سيدي عليك يا سيدي عليك يا سيد الأولين والآخرين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the most merciful, the most gracious. Welcome to Mecca 1, right here on this station, 90.5 FM KSJS, Thursdays from 5 to 6 p.m. So if you don't know, now you do. The topic of discussion is to know him, is to love him. And indeed, we're talking about the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to help us with this topic today we have Sheikh Muhammad al-Yaqubi from Syria. We also have Faridun, inshallah he will introduce Sheikh Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair for spending some of your day out here with Mecca 1.
It's a pleasure being here talking to this group of listeners.
Alhamdulillah. So Faridun, could you give us a little brief introduction to our Sheikh here?
Just a brief introduction for the listeners, inshallah. Sheikh Muhammad al-Yaqubi was born in Syria, and he is one of the leading scholars of Islam that we have today, alhamdulillah. One of the amazing things about him is that he was trained since he was 4 years old at the hands of his father, Sheikh Ibrahim al-Yaqubi, rahimahullah. And he has studied over 500 books with his father, rahimahullah. He has been going around the world by invitation from United States to Pakistan to Sweden to England to Canada, all over the world, alhamdulillah. And his teaching and his words have changed the lives of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. His study circle sometimes is a single student studying the Ihya Ulumuddin to conferences where over 100 and 200,000 people attended to benefit from his knowledge. And alhamdulillah, it's a blessing to have him here in the Bay Area again. And inshallah, we'll benefit from his knowledge and his presence today.
Jazakallah khair again. And truly, we do feel honored, Sheikh Muhammad, that you're spending your second time now here on Mecca One to discuss this very important topic. If we could, inshallah, get an introduction about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those of our listeners who are not familiar with him, if you could share with us his biography, his lineage, and how he was raised, and what kind of character he had for us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful, praise due only to Allah, prayers and salutations are to be sent to His Messenger, the elect, the seal of all prophets, the best of humanity, our Master Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and upon his family and his companions. This topic is of great importance because it speaks of the seal of all messengers, the seal of all prophets, and the best of humanity, and the prophet in whom all Muslims believe and all humanity must believe, the prophet of Islam, who was born year 570, common era, which is common amongst the Christian nations, and lived for 63 years, lived in Mecca, where he was born most of his life, until he started his message at the age of 40. Allah revealed upon him the beginning of the book of Al-Quran, first few verses of the chapter Al-Alaq, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, in the cave of Hira. Read, recite by the name of thy Lord who created. He struggled for 13 years to convince his people, the tribe of Quraysh in Mecca, to accept this message. It was only few hundred people who accepted this message, and for several years it was only a handful of people. Of course, the top of them and the first of them were his own wife Khadija and his best friend Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, his own cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the very close circle around him, peace be upon him. Later on, he received the divine command to migrate to a city called Yathrib, was named later on Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, the enlightened city, Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, known now as Medina, where he lived for a little bit over 10 years, the rest of his life, till he passed away from the face of this earth, finishing and completing his message and the mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty, ordered him to spread on the face of this earth. And it was indeed that all Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula at that time, had declared Islam and accepted this message. It was made clear, all divine commands were revealed, and Allah Almighty sent down upon humanity through him and upon him all the teachings that would guarantee happiness for humanity until the end of time. This man is the best of humanity. This man is the elected man. God wanted, first of all, and this is for our non-Muslim listeners, because I know that our Muslim listeners are convinced that Prophet Muhammad is the best of humanity. We need to understand that when God created the human race, mankind, God wanted to show his perfection on the face of the earth, and this perfection must be manifested at least in one example. So God manifested this perfection in one man and told of him and took a covenant from all prophets, starting from Adam, ending with Jesus, to believe in this man if he appeared during their messages. This man is Muhammad, our prophet, the prophet of Islam. God made him perfect, perfect on every level. A perfect man in terms of his creation, his beauty, his form, And there's no one single human being on the face of the earth who was described to us in detail as he was described to us, starting, if we may just shed some light on how he is described to us, starting from his body, from his head to his toe, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, peace and prayers be upon him. His hair is described to us, how long it was, how he parted his hair, and whether he had any gray hair, and his beard, the length of his beard, whether he applied oil on his hair or not. And we see his face, how he is described to us, for example, his forehead, and then where the hairline started on his forehead, and his eyebrows, his eyelashes, how long they were, and the color of the hair, of his head, of his beard, of his eyebrows, of his eyelashes, and then his eyes, the size of his eyes, his eye pupils, and his nose, how long, how tall, how thin, how high it was, his mouth, his lips, and his chin, his cheeks, and in every detail he is described to us, and by the people of his time, it was made clear that he was the most perfect human being, the most beautiful human being. He himself, peace be upon him, said that Joseph, the prophet, known as Yusuf in the Arabic language, was given half beauty, I was given all of it. That is the perfection of his form. So if people love, and we're talking about to know him is to love him, if people love beauty, in terms of beautiful faces, they read about his description, they must love him. Because if we love absolute beauty, and if we love any specific example of beauty, he represents to us the most beautiful example of any human being God created on the face of the earth. To the extent that his form even had the perfect balance between the four humors, the four elements in his body. That if he wanted to live, he would have lived for thousands of years. Yet God wanted the humanity to follow his footsteps, to follow his example. And his life was a mercy for humanity and to mankind. And his death was a mercy to humanity and to mankind. And this is a common question. Usually people wish, Muslims I mean here, they wish that would that he was amongst us or we were in his time. Well, it's a great wish to have, but yet, also there is a risk that what if we were in his lifetime or he was amongst us, peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and we did something wrong, we misbehaved in front of him. So it's out of God's mercy that he also disappeared from the face of the earth, but he's alive under the face of the earth in a specific or on a specific level of life God created for him. This is why we need to understand his perfection from that aspect to appreciate him. He was different from us in terms of the material he was created from. We have several traditions that tell us that he was created from light. And we see some aspects of that, that he, for example, didn't have any shadow when he walked. All human beings see with their own eyes. Although the hadith of the shadow is weak, but this hadith is strong that he used to see from behind. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He told his companions, look, I see from behind as you see from what is in front of you. And we have several other aspects that make his form, his body, different from the forms and the bodies of other human beings. He used to fast for 3 days, continually, without interrupting, without breaking his fast. Peace and blessings be upon him. This is the level of perfection in terms of form, and I started with this level because people are attached to beauty, people are attached to materialistic examples in this life, especially in the midst of this life in the USA here, where really the spiritual realm is very rare now, and you find very less people interested in either intellectual activities or even on the spiritual level. But on the other hand, God made him perfect in terms of his behavior. So why do we love him? Why do we have to follow him? Because he was perfect in his behavior. That is to say, there was no one stain, there's no one spot of misbehavior. No one could spot any bad action, any bad behavior, anything wrong, apart from, or let alone talking about sins, let alone talking about committing sins against God's instructions. It's very important to understand this, that prophets in Islam, we believe that when God wants to send down to humanity a message, he picks up a perfect man so that his own people can follow him, believe in him. That's why if you go home, dear listeners, try this. Go home and tell your wife that, you know, a miracle happened to me today. The first person who would disbelieve in you would be your wife, because she knows you well. She'll tell you, how come? I know you. You didn't pray this morning. Or, I know you. You lie, you cheat, you do all these things. How come that a miracle may happen to you or at your hand? The first people who would disavow you, disbelieve you, would be the people around you, which is actually the opposite of the case of Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. If his wife Khadija, who had lived with him for so long time, spotted on him anything wrong throughout her life, she wouldn't have been the first person to believe in him. The same also for the person who was raised in his home, his cousin Ali. Salutations be upon him, alayhi salam, also was the first to believe in him. Moreover, his lifetime friend, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq didn't come from nowhere to follow Prophet Muhammad. He had accompanied him. He had traveled with him to south of Syria on a business trip. Then, when Prophet Muhammad told him, look, I received revelation. We have to believe that there is no God but Allah. I am his messenger. He sent me to humanity. Then Abu Bakr, his lifetime friend, was the first to believe in him. They never spotted anything wrong in his behavior. It's a rational proof that God would not send down anyone upon humanity to convey a message and make of him a bad example. This is why Prophet Muhammad was the last one of those on the face of the earth who represented the perfection of behavior, how God wanted human beings to behave. This is why we have to follow his footsteps. This is another level of perfection of Prophet Muhammad when we speak about him. This is why we could sum up this aspect of him, that he was the perfect and the most perfect Adam, the most perfect human being on the face of the earth. And this is one aspect why we love him, and we must love him. There is another aspect of the reasons why we love him, which we must know about. It is his favors upon us. His favors upon us. Because, as I said, the first aspect, people love things for the sake of their beauty. Well, here is the most beautiful human being. People love things sometimes for the favors they do to them. And I think Americans understand this very well. Because in America, the ideology that prevails in business here, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You do me a favor, I do you one. It's all about the bottom line. How much I'm going to get from you so that I keep your company, I keep your business, I keep with you, I do you a favor. What am I going to get from you? Well, if you want to love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam on that basis, then there is every reason to love him, because no human being has done to us anything more than Prophet Muhammad has done to us. Good favors, graces, blessings. Not even your own parents. This is why Aristotle, for example, used to respect or show more respect to his teacher than the respect he used to show to his father. He was asked about this. Why? And he said in answer the following. My father is the cause of my ending life, while my teacher is the cause of my endless life. So this is why Prophet Muhammad is the cause of our endless life. Because of him, we know God and we're going to survive. You know, it's not about surviving in 20, 30, 40, 50, 70 years of journeying around the world from cradle to grave. It's not about surviving with more fortune, with more wealth, with good health, and so on. It's about salvation on the Day of Judgment. We may laugh at each other these days. We may laugh at poor people. And we may boast that I have more money than you. I have a higher job and better job than you. I have a higher university degree than you. But they say in the English language also, who laughs last, laughs most. Laughter is on the Day of Judgment when the believers would laugh at the unbelievers. Those who would end up in paradise would laugh at those who would end up where? In hell. And we wouldn't like it for anyone. This is why, dear brothers, dear listeners, we would like you to join our convoy to paradise.
We would like you to be with us in the Garden of Eden with this man, Prophet Muhammad. And all it takes is just one simple sentence to say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. I testify that there is no God but Allah, which I believe every intellectual must agree to it. Every human being must agree to this simple fact that there is no God but Allah. The second part of it is believing in the last and final messenger. Muhammad is his messenger. And when looking at his miracles, looking at his life, looking at his qualities, looking at his perfection, all you have to do is to believe in him. I read once in the Newsweek that there was a poll conducted by the Newsweek, and they discovered that 78% of Americans believe in miracles. Well, all you have to do is to believe in his miracles. Prayers and blessings be upon him. Prophet Muhammad's miracles are over 3,000 miracles, documented, authenticated. We're not talking about 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 miracles. Few miracles, handful miracles narrated from Prophet Jesus. Although we believe in Prophet Jesus, peace and prayers be upon him, and he is the best of all messengers after Prophet Muhammad and the Prophet of Islam, because he was the one who handed down the message to Prophet Muhammad, peace and prayers be upon him. Yet we're speaking here about thousands and thousands of miracles that were witnessed by people, eyewitnesses, and narrated not only by individuals, but by groups. This is why we have to learn more about this man. And I think rightly did, actually, Michael Hart, by selecting the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad. You would be surprised. And this is a non-Muslim writer who picked up the most influential 100 personalities of the world and around the world. And he decided, after a lot of studies, surveys, research, that Prophet Muhammad is the most influential human being on the face of the earth. So it was number one in his book, 100 Personalities.
Well, we actually have a caller on the phone with a question. Sister, are you there?
Yeah.
What was your question?
My question was, so if God created Muhammad perfectly beautiful, aesthetically beautiful, and he expects us to love Muhammad because of his beauty, then does God also expect us to despise people without beauty, like without aesthetic beautiness in their facial features or whatever?
Well, here is the other aspect of beauty which I was going to talk about, because beauty is of various aspects. First of all, of course, the appearance and the form, and it is one of the most helpful elements in any messenger that God create him beautiful, handsome.
Uh-huh.
And if people, and there are many people on the face of the earth who would be attached only to the outward form of beauty.
Right.
And I may call this the outward form of beauty. So it's not wrong that God created a messenger or all messengers on a certain level of beauty, and Prophet Muhammad had actually the highest level of beauty. But of course, when we look at Islam and the theory of beauty in Islam, we see that Islam actually looked at beauty from the other aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The other aspect, it is the inner beauty, the beauty of the soul, the beauty of the inside, which is manifested by the behavior, by the character, by the intellectual ability of a human being. This is why the Prophet of Islam spoke, if I may interrupt you, sister, the Prophet of Islam spoke of people, for example, being closer to God, even if they didn't have any aspect of the outward form of beauty.
Oh, okay.
The Prophet talked about a man who is untidy and is black and without any probably aspect or trace of beauty, being actually the closest to God. And he opens his hand and God accepts his dua or his supplications. So it's not about the outward form of beauty, but there is a large percentage of human beings that is attached only to the outward form. And for that reason, and we address these people, well, if this is what you're attached to, then look, here is a reason for you to love Prophet Muhammad. But of course, we expect our listeners, especially the Muslim ones, and many other of intellectual amongst non-Muslims, to be attached to the other aspect of the beauty of Prophet Muhammad. This is why I spoke about his perfection in terms of his behavior.
Oh, I see. Okay. So there's no hierarchy in the kinds of beauty that will bring you closer to God.
No. More beautiful, more closer to God. No, there's nothing like that at all in Islam. Actually, the opposite. could be applied because the beauty is in the behavior. Abdullah ibn Umar, a famous scholar amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, may Allah be satisfied with him, says, "Man kathurat salatuhu billayl ashraqa wajhuhu bin nahar." If you want your face to be more shiny during the day, then pray more during the night. So the source of beauty is closeness to God. So you pray more during the night, then your face is more shiny during the day.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Mecca 1111.
Ya Nabi salam alayka, ya Rasul salam alayka, ya Habib salam alayka, salawatullah alayka, ya Nabi salam.
Mecca
1111. Sheikh Muhammad, you're talking about how the Prophet ﷺ, his example was a perfect example. When I read about his life, his seerah, it's stressed that he brought the middle way. If you could explain to us, to our listeners, what that meant.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, described the nation of Islam. And when I say here the nation of Islam, I don't mean a race, I don't mean a language, I don't mean here any group. The Muslim community, I mean here, because you have in America here a group called the Nation of Islam. So, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And thus we have made you a community of the middle way, or a nation of moderation. Ummah means a community or a nation, or that is built not on a race or on a color or on a language, but built on the covenant to God, coming together to believe in God. This is what makes a community in Islam. This is why you find people in Islam talking to each other from Indonesia to Morocco, brother, brother, brother. So, a nation of moderation, a community following the middle way. The middle way in terms of theology. That is to say, we're not fatalists, and we don't totally believe in free will. We believe that God gave human beings a certain will, but also God creates our actions. We don't believe that, for example, sins never harm. And we don't believe also that a sin may also drop you in the hellfire forever. We believe that people may commit sins and then they have a chance to repent to God. So the way of Islam, and specifically represented in mainstream Islam, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people who are following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, namely the followers of the four madhabs here, the Hanbalite school, the Malikite school, the Shafi'ite school, and the Hanafite school of law. I mean here, those represent the middle way in terms of theology. And we have several other aspects. When we come to speak about Islamic law, we see also Islam representing, in terms of Sharia, the middle way. If you looked at the instructions or injunctions God revealed on nations or peoples before Islam, you would see that they were made very tough. Let's say if your clothes was made filthy, by some stains of filth on it, and you wanted to clean it, the instructions before Islam were you had to cut it, you had to get rid of the filthy piece. There was no way to purify it. In Islam, God made it very easy for us. You can just wash it in water, and then you get it clean. If you missed your prayers, you had to go back to a specific place, to the mosque, to pray in the mosque. You couldn't pray anywhere. While God made it for Muslims and anyone who follows this path, very easy, you pray anywhere in the world, as long as it is clean. We have several aspects of this middle way. And especially here, we're talking about the title of the message of Prophet Muhammad and the title of Islamic Sharia. People think when we speak about Sharia that we're coming with a burden of corpus of law to just tell humanity, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. No, actually, what we have to do and what we are allowed to do in Islam is actually 90% of what we do. And what we are, let's say, prohibited from doing is just a very marginal percentage. What we are allowed to do is so many. And the Sharia is titled as being merciful. And Prophet Muhammad's main description, peace be upon him, is merciful and mercy to humanity. God wanted us to know him with that title, which actually shapes Islam. Islam being the religion of mercy, and Prophet Muhammad and his message is being a message of mercy and a man of mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a mercy to the worlds, God says in the Quran. Not only to human beings, but also to angels, also to matter, also to animals, to plants. If you just saw his instructions on how to treat animals, you would see how much mercy he brought to animals. If you just saw his instructions and went through his instructions how to protect plants and trees, you would see how much he was merciful and how much mercy he brought to plants and the green. This is why the Sharia altogether comes to establish that middle way for humanity, which brings mercy to humanity.
We're here with Sheikh Muhammad Al-Yaqubi from Syria. The topic of discussion today is to know him, is to love him. And we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We touched upon a little bit about his character and a little bit about his biography with the Sheikh. Inshallah, we want to get into how the companions expressed their love for the Prophet. And in closing, inshallah, if you could give us some tips or even some ways we can show our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Oh, when touching upon this topic, one really yearns to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. One has what we call shawq, longing for him. Peace and prayers be upon him sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Because if you looked at his companions, the people around him, and how they behaved and how much love they had for him in their hearts, you would really belittle yourselves. And you would really feel that we are completely insignificant. We have to believe in him as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us. And his name is mentioned in every call for prayer. His name is mentioned in every prayer. When we pray to God, we pray upon him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Yet if we compare our love for him to the level of love his companions had, we are so far away from him and from appreciating him, from being attached to him, from yearning and longing for him. Peace and prayers be upon him. Probably, and simply we could say, they loved him more than loving water. They loved him more than loving food. If someone is thirsty and hungry, they loved him more than anything else. And even they loved him more than loving themselves. They sacrificed for his sake. And they left behind their wealth, their families. They even sacrificed their own children for his sake. Take for example, Suhaib. Suhaib, who was a slave at that time, freed by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who purchased him and set him free for the sake of God, wanted to migrate from Mecca to Al-Madinah. So, during his business, he gained some money. He had some fortune. So, he took all of his fortune with him, his wife, his children, and headed for Al-Madinah. On the way, the unbelievers heard that he was traveling. He was migrating and leaving Mecca. They followed him. And they wanted to prevent him from following the Messenger of God from migrating to Al-Madinah. And he said to them, they told him, are you going to travel, taking your family with you, your wealth with you? He said, yes. They said, there's no way we can let you go. He said, what if I leave you my wealth? He said, leave us your wealth, your family, and we let you go. And he left, and he headed for Al-Madinah. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was, during the Battle of Badr, fighting with the Prophet of Islam on his side. His son Abdul Rahman was fighting with the unbelievers of Mecca. And several times Abdul Rahman had a shot at his father and he avoided him. Abu Bakr said, if I had a shot at you, I wouldn't have avoided you. For the sake of God, they sacrificed everything. This is what God says in the Quran. قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Say, if your fathers, your children, your brethren, your mates, your clan, the wealth you have piled up, business you conduct, houses in which you dwell, if all of that, and this is the first part of the equation, if all of that is dearer to you, more beloved to you, using the word hubb here, love, more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and struggling for His sake, then beware and wait for the command of God to come. Allah doesn't show guidance to those who are unrighteous. So see here, who is dearer to you? And the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made it clear to his companions, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you is a perfect believer till I am dearer to him than his father, his son, and all mankind. At that time, Umar was close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he immediately reacted. He said, O Prophet, you're dearer to me, you're more beloved to me than all human beings except my own self. The Prophet insisted, repeating it again, none of you is a perfect believer till I am dearer to him, more beloved to him than his father, his children, and he himself, and all mankind. And Umar immediately interacted with the prophetic statement and changed his attitude and said, O Messenger of Allah, now you are dearer to me, more beloved to me than all humanity, than everything. We have to love him. Because in order to follow someone, the example of someone, you have to have a motive. In America here, you see people behaving, dressing, acting exactly like many movie stars, like many celebrities. Why? Because they have love for them. They become crazy about them. Well, if you don't have this love for the Messenger of Allah, you wouldn't be able to emulate him, to follow his footsteps. And his example is the best example, by the way. And when I'm calling here to follow the example of Prophet Muhammad, I'm not calling here to follow an example of a nomad or of a Bedouin who lived 1400 years ago. Many people say how to apply the Sunnah. The Sunnah is the middle way, the most perfect way, the most elegant way. If you want to be modern, if you want to be elegant, if you want to show all and the top, the best level of behavior, then follow the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And in that way, you're bringing harmony to your behavior with divine elements, elements of perfection on your behavior while walking on the face of the earth as a human being.
Allah, you were mentioning in the beginning how we love the Prophet so much. I think this is one of the reasons why Jummah is loved by the Ummah. I would say that people come out for Jummah and they try to follow each and every thing he did. And the fact that when you send salutations on him on Jummah, he receives them directly.
Exactly. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that there's an angel Allah assigned in the sound hadith narrated by Ibn Hibban, that there's an angel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned to convey all prayers people are making. Humanity, imagine the billions and billions of Muslims who are alive and came into life before making prayers upon him. All prayers are conveyed to him. Ahmad in California, Muhammad in Indonesia, son of those of so and so and so, his name, his father's name, all is reported to him, and he answers all the calls. Except on Fridays, he says, he continues, on Fridays he hears with his own ears. So he's alive. And this is what I mentioned before, because Allah made it a specific level of life for all prophets. So he hears the prayers we sent upon him, and the prayers actually are to benefit us, to reflect upon us, because the more you pray upon him, it's going to be easier for you to embrace his character. Because to tell me, how am I going to change as a Muslim living in America here to be or to represent the best way of the Prophet? All I tell you is here, go and maintain prayers upon him. And then you're going, whether you like it or not, you're going to embrace his example. People ask how to love him more. Read about his life, read about his seerah, send prayers upon him, go and visit him. There are many steps, many things we can do to improve our love for him, but the key point here is in the title that you choose for this talk, actually, is to know him more. Know him more, read about him, about his characteristics, about his character, his attributes, his life, his miracles, and his teachings, so that later on you will appreciate him and you will love him more and more, more than anything else.
One of the things which I think for the entire Ummah, the reason why we love him so much is he sacrificed for us. He's the one that we're going to run to on the Day of Judgment. And he's the one that called us his brothers. And the hadith, which I always remember, when the Sahabi, he started weeping and he said, "We love you so much, but your level in Jannah will be this much, and you know, where am I?"
This is something that is very dear to the heart of every Muslim, because the way of love is the shortest way to paradise. If you want to know the shortest way to paradise, there are many ways, but the shortest way is the way of love. This is why Prophet Muhammad consoled the Sahaba, his companions, by offering them this rank, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. A person will be with anyone he loves. So choose anything, love it, and you will be with it. So if you choose Prophet of Islam and you love him, then this love, if true, it will lead you to following his footsteps, and then the fruit of it comes on the Day of Judgment, you will be with him. And of course, living now more than 14 centuries after him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, doesn't bring us farther than the Sahaba and his companions. Because all you have to work on is your heart. Time doesn't make people better than each other. The Sahaba are better because they looked at him. But also, you can send prayers upon him, you can make mention of him, and then you see him in your dreams. And he says that whoever sees me in his dream will see me in reality, will meet me in reality. Whoever sees Prophet Muhammad as he was described in his dream will never be touched by fire. The Prophet of Islam will come to him on the Day of Judgment to save him. And this is a great sort of solace for us after him, because the Sahaba saw him. Now, is the door of seeing him closed? No. Out of his mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left for us this honor and the possibility of seeing him in our dream. And in order to see him in our dreams, all we have to do is to send prayers upon him often, 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 and then he comes to our as our savior on the Day of Judgment.
The topic of discussion today is to know him, is to love him. And we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here today with Sheikh Muhammad al-Yaqubi. I'd like to ask the Sheikh if he has any final thoughts that he would like to share with us about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also some sources we can go to read about him and to try to emulate him and to develop or cultivate a love for him, inshallah.
Well, on that level, first of all, let me address our non-Muslim listeners, because I love them dearly, and I would like them also to join us in the Garden of Eden. I would like them to understand more about this man, Prophet Muhammad, the perfect example, the perfect human being on the face of the earth, because many of them believe in Jesus. And this is a good step. But to learn more about Prophet Muhammad and believe in him, you would have, if we speak rationally, more chances of survival on the Day of Judgment, because we believe in Moses, Jesus, and Prophet Muhammad, and all other prophets mentioned in the Bible. Ourselves as Muslims, as we define our way, we believe in all prophets. So I would like just to encourage them, because I know that many of them appreciate Islam and love Muslims. Many of them have Muslim friends around. So that investigate more, read more about Islam, and take this step. You need more courage just to come out and say, "I believe in God, I believe in His Messenger. There is no God but one. Muhammad is really His Messenger." And you confirm this to join the rest of humanity, the 1.3 billion Muslims around the world who appreciate Prophet Muhammad and believe in him and love him, alongside loving Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Adam, and all other prophets. As to our Muslim listeners, I would like to recommend to them a book they must read. And this is a very good book and an excellent book. First of all, Al-Shifa, the Arabic title of it, is translated as Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, translated by Aisha Biuli and published in the English language, and it's a very common book. Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. It speaks about the rights and the obligations we have towards him, prayers and peace be upon him. And there's another book on his life, which I would like to recommend also, by Martin Links, who just passed away in England, a great writer about Islam, British convert, who served Islam for over 70 years. And his book is also Muhammad, under the title Muhammad by Martin Links, his life based on earlier sources. Apart from that, there is a book called Dalailul Khairat, a prayer book upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also available in the English language nowadays, Dalailul Khairat. I recommend to people to read. It's divided into 7 sections. You can pick up a section for every day, the La'ilul Khayrat, a prayer book upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. That would indirectly make you embrace his character.
Well, Jazakallah khair. I'd like to thank Sheikh Muhammad for spending some time with us on the show today. We encourage your questions and comments. You can email us, meccaone@ksjs.org. So, Sheikh Muhammad, Jazakallah khair again.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here with you. May Allah reward you for this show.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah. Jazakallah khair again. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa barakatuh. Thanks to all listeners.
Mecca One is an independent media organization designed to build, educate, invite, and enlighten all walks of life to the truths of Islam through radio, web, print, and broadcast media. Mecca One Media is a non-profit 501c3 tax-exempt charitable organization. Mecca One Media relies upon support from listeners like you to help provide the world with quality radio programming. Visit us on the web at www.meccaone.org. That's www.meccaone.org.